You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and insightful daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and refined product markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the U.S. energy landscape.
Monday, April 6, 2026. Upgrade you. Upgrader repairs could offer surest route to higher Venezuelan crude oil production. Published by John Hours. There's no shortage of work to be done to revive Venezuela's crude oil industry, much of which suffered from years of poor management and minimal investment. One rehabilitation effort that may well provide a lot of bang for the buck would be to repair and restart the industry's crude upgraders, which process Venezuela's extra heavy oil to produce a lighter synthetic crude that can then be piped, shipped, and refined. In today's RBN blog, we'll discuss how improving the upgraders could make a massive difference for U.S. Gulf Coast refiners. We've written extensively this year about Venezuela's oil sector in the wake of the U.S.-backed removal of President Nicolas Maduro, starting with Take Me Money and Run Venezuela, where we recapped how the country went from supplying more than 1 million barrels per day of heavy sour crude to Gulf Coast refiners in the late 1990s and early 2000s to overall production of less than 1 million barrels per day today, roughly one quarter of its former output. We then dug into the unique characteristics of Venezuela's crude slate in Orinoco Flow, noting that most reserves lie in the 21,000-square-mile Orinoco Belt and are extra heavy, API as low as 8 to 14 degrees, making the oil difficult and costly to move and refine. In When Love Comes to Town, we compared Venezuelan and Canadian heavy crudes. Finally, in Round and Round, which previewed our first drill down report of 2026, we laid out the practical steps Venezuela would need to take to boost crude production. This is the second in our new series on Venezuela. The first piece focused on the refining sector, which is so far gone that we see little interest from Western companies in making the large investments needed to restore it, especially given the growing surplus of refined products from the Gulf Coast. Check out our biannual Future of Fuels report, where we discuss this in more detail. But the situation with Venezuela's crude upgraders is quite different from the country's refiners. While the country's four upgraders are also dilapidated after years of underinvestment and barely operable, if at all, they are critical to increasing production from the Orinoco Belt. The extra heavy crude produced there must be either upgraded into synthetic crude oil, SCO, or blended with a diluent like condensate or natural gasoline before it can be exported. Given that the vast majority of the diluent used in Venezuela needs to be imported, the lack of operable upgrading capacity is a major constraint on crude production. Before we get to what might be needed to repair and restart the four upgraders, let's discuss each of them in some detail. Petropar, the former Amaca/Amerivan project, now a joint venture, JV, between state-owned PDVSA and Chevron, was constructed in the early 2000s and designed to run around 190,000 barrels per day of extra-heavy Orinoco crude and produce roughly 170 to 180,000 barrels per day of mid-20s API crude for export. In recent years, Petropar has been the workhorse among Venezuela's four upgraders and is generally regarded as the most recent upgrader in operation, though it typically operates at only about 30% utilization. Chevron was authorized to resume operations of the upgrader in late 2022, and it operated the facility until mid-2025, when the company's license in Venezuela was partially curtailed. During this period, Chevron showed Petropar can still run as a true upgrader rather than just a blender. That means the facility can crack and upgrade extra-heavy crude into SCO rather than simply blending extra-heavy barrels with diluent to make an exportable Marais-type grade, which was how state-owned PDVSA had been using the facility prior to Chevron's reinstatement in late 2022. Since Maduro's ouster, Chevron and PDVSA have agreed on preliminary terms to expand the Petropar complex, which would include giving Chevron the rights to extract bitumen from the explored but mostly undeveloped Ayacucho 8 area south of the upgrader. Due to its proximity to the already developed well cluster system that has been feeding Petropar, output could be boosted relatively quickly. According to press reports, Petropar production has already ramped up to 90,000 barrels per day of upgraded crude and 20,000 barrels per day of vacuum gas oil. It could use additional improvements to ramp up even further with targeted fixes rather than a full rebuild, since the major process units, distillation, coking and hydroprocessing, were all brought back to meaningful throughput in the past year. The initial projects would likely be small, such as rebuilding the maintenance and operations crew and restoring the facility's inspection programs. Whether the facility can return close to the full design capacity is highly uncertain at this point. Petro Cedeño, formerly Sinqer, a PDVSA Total Energies Equinor JV, was designed to upgrade roughly 200,000 barrels per day of extra heavy crude into traditional crude for export. The facility has experienced repeated operational disruptions in recent years, including fires and equipment failures, and has spent extended periods offline. Most recently, a major fire and explosion occurred in November 2025 near its distillation unit and associated naphtha area. This incident led to the evacuation of workers, a significant emergency response, and at least a temporary shutdown. We believe it is still offline. The plant was built in the late 1990s but has faced chronic undermaintenance, now compounded by the recent fire damage to core process equipment, distillation/naphtha systems. This likely means it would need major repairs and/or partial rebuilds before it can restart. Petromonagas, formerly Cerro Negro, a PDVSA Russian interest JV, was designed to process about 120,000 barrels per day of extra heavy crude into SCO. Operations have been intermittent in recent years, constrained by maintenance issues, diluent shortages, and broader infrastructure deterioration. The facility seems less damaged than Petrosaveno. There is no major recent publicized fire or other casualty event, but years of intermittent operations and deferred maintenance have caused problems. There were earlier plans to expand the upgrader's capacity to 145,000 barrels per day, but nothing came of them. The fact that this facility is linked to a JV involving a Russian state-owned company Rosarubezhneft complicates the situation. Rosarubezhneft, which is owned by the Russian Ministry of Economic Development, was formed in 2020 to take over the Venezuelan assets of state-controlled giant Rosneft after the U.S. enacted targeted sanctions against Rosneft's Venezuelan units for trading Venezuelan oil, and Russia claims full ownership of all those assets, including the Petromonagas facility. Public reporting on the upgrader is thin on unit-by-unit damage, but past notices mention cleaning and repair outages, which often mean issues with distillation, upgrader reactors, and heat transfer equipment. This upgrader will need significant routine maintenance, inspections, and repairs of critical equipment, and it is unknown whether Russia is interested, or even capable, of making the significant investment which would be required, not to mention potential disputes with the U.S. regarding ownership. Petro San Felix/Petrolera Roraima, formerly Petro Suada/ConocoPhillips, was the first Orinoco upgrader, having been formed as a JV with ConocoPhillips in 1997 and started up in 2004. Designed for 120,000 barrels per day of upgrading capacity, the facility was fully taken over by PDVSA in 2007 under disputed circumstances, ultimately leading to a major arbitration judgment in ConocoPhillips' favor. Under PDVSA's ownership, the facility's condition and operations went downhill, ultimately leading to extended outages over the last several years, including a significant explosion of two associated diluent storage tanks in 2019. Any restart would need not only plant refurbishment but also restoration of associated wells, gathering, solids handling, and export logistics. Put simply, it would be more of a major brownfield redevelopment than just a restart. Among the four upgraders, this would likely be the most intense and potentially expensive rehabilitation project. Looking to the future, the Petropayar complex appears to have the best short-term and perhaps even long-term prospect of all the Orinoco Belt upgraders. As noted earlier, it has already ramped up to production levels of 110,000 barrels per day, and further increases and even expansion beyond the original 170,000 to 180,000 barrels per day design capacity look promising based on the preliminary agreements moving forward between Chevron and PDVSA. The three other upgraders seem to have much more challenging near-term prospects. Generally speaking, the first step for all of these facilities would be a full inspection to determine their current condition and required repairs and capital investments, prioritizing the units that can be brought back online most quickly and cost-effectively. It is important to note that all of the upgraders, including Petropayar, are nestled in the same general area and face similar systemic challenges. In particular, Venezuela's power grid has deteriorated significantly in recent years. As a result, outages and voltage instability are routine, and electricity is increasingly rationed, with industrial users not currently prioritized. Also, regional onshore storage is constrained and a large share of usable tanks are either nearly full or out of service due to corrosion, leaks, or contamination risks. And finally, the takeaway pipelines to slash from where the bitumen reserves are located in Faja, in the Orinoco Belt, and the upgraders along the coast in Jose have suffered years of corrosion, leaks, and theft, leading to additional problems and significant investment requirements. To sum up, of the about 630,000+ barrels per day of pre-Chavez upgrading capacity, it appears only a fraction, the 110,000 barrels per day of total production at Petropayar, is currently operational. Of the rest, Further increases at Petrapayar are likely the best near-term growth prospects. Beyond that, we believe there is significant longer-term value in identifying which of the other three upgraders could be brought back to life in the most cost-effective and time-efficient way. Orinoco extra heavy barrels are tailor-made for Gulf Coast heavy crude refineries, and reviving the upgraders will ultimately be required to support meaningful growth in Venezuelan crude production. Getting even a couple of those plants back in operation would go a long way toward loosening up what has been a tight heavy sour crude market and diversifying U.S. heavy oil supply. Upgrade You was written by Beyonce Knowles, Angela Batince, Solange Knowles, McCabe Redick, Sean Garrett, Sean Carter, Willie Clark, and Clarence Reed. It appears as the fourth song on Beyonce's second studio album, B-Day. The song is about a woman upgrading her loved one's lifestyle and name checks goods from upscale brands. It features Beyonce's future husband at the time, rapper Jay-Z, on additional vocals. Released as a single in October 2006, it went to number 14 on the Billboard Hot R&B/Hip-Hop Songs chart and number 59 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. It has been certified 2X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America, RIAA. Personnel on the record were Beyonce, lead vocals, Jay-Z, guest vocals, Jim Carvana, Andrew Coleman, Brian Gardner, Jason Goldstein, Bob Kanelski, The Neptunes, Makeba Riddick, Steve Tola, and Pharrell Williams. Production, mixing, sampling, programming. B-Day was recorded in the spring of 2006 at The Battery, Rock the Mic, and Sony in New York City, Futura in Boston, Criteria and Beach House in Miami, Great Divide in Aspen, Colorado, Henson, Lair, Record Plant, and The Underlab in Los Angeles, and La Marimonda in Nassau in the Bahamas. It was produced by Edward Cabra, Dark Child, Sean Garrett, Rich Harrison, Nellie Hooper, Beyonce Knowles, Lil Waite, Neo, Candace Nelson, The Neptunes, Rudy Perez, Shakira, Stargate, Swizz Beatz, Shea Taylor, Cience, The Underdogs, and Cameron Wallace. Released in September 2006, the album went to number 1 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart and has been certified 5X Platinum by the RIAA. 5 singles were released from the LP. Beyonce Giselle Knowles Carter, is an American singer, songwriter, record producer, and actress. She initially rose to fame as the lead singer of Destiny's Child, which sold over 60 million records worldwide. She went solo after Destiny's Child's breakup in 2005. As a solo artist, she has released 8 studio albums, 5 live albums, a soundtrack album, 3 compilation albums, 5 EPs, and 61 singles, and has sold more than 200 million records worldwide. Beyonce has been featured in 13 motion pictures and 10 documentaries. She has won 8 American Music Awards, 68 ASCAP Awards, an Emmy Award, 35 Grammy Awards, 30 MTV Video Music Awards, and 2 World Music Awards. She continues to record and tour.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.